Bring Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game along for the ride. We go wherever you go.
Everywhere.
With the 103.7 The Game mobile app.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game. KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, May 30 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, beginning anew at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love back at the place to be every single Thursday, and it's a full three-hour tour today, friend. We've got the famous Clint D. in tow from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. I will begin, as we kind of are becoming accustomed to, I'll begin split screen, three big topics you need to know about, my takes on them, and then possibly your phone calls when you're ready. 706-0111. I'll get you the guest list at the end of this segment. We're chock full of really great topics to discuss. We'll have a swan song here at the Tap Room. Again, more on that. A Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. But I'll lead off with three different topics in no particular order of importance. Split screen, part one. UL Mississippi State football is now an 11 a.m. kickoff, Saturday of Labor Day weekend. There's good and there's bad to that. The good is fairly simple. All of a sudden, you're on national television. Call it the battle for Mark Hudspeth's soul. UL, Mississippi State, I know he's moved on, but you get what I'm saying. It's going to be on ESPNU. So the national TV aspect of it, phenomenal. The Cajuns, almost any group of five program I can think of, maybe with the exception of Boise State in recent years, Cajuns are playing in a noteworthy kickoff classic. Now they're going to do it on national television. Those are great things for the brand. And I'll tell you this too, a little bit like LSU-Bama, the conversation we had yesterday about that day game. That kick time is not a bad thing. It's a nice enough start when you can get one of the bigger boys on the first weekend of the season. Maybe they don't have their stuff together just yet. You're going to get them away from their home field. That's another feather in your cap. And now you get them a little bit out of sorts playing at 11 a.m. So a little bit like yesterday. LSU-Bama won't be at night. I think that's good. For the Tigers, all of a sudden that game against the Tide, it becomes a little bit less of the be-all, end-all. As for the Cajuns, this makes it a little more crazy, and maybe chaos will rule in New Orleans. The bad is obvious. It's going to completely, in my opinion, decimate the Saturday fan base experience. Friday night, perhaps not. The upshot to this game being played so freaking early to begin the 2019 season under Billy Napier, the upshot is, hey, it'll be over. Win or lose, you can go out and drink yourself silly in the Big Easy to celebrate the historic win, or, you know, just kind of revel in the loss, whatever it may be. And so there's some good and some bad to that. Your second storyline, this one more timely to what's coming this weekend in local sports, Landon Marceau has garnered the start for Paul Maneri and Alan Dunn tomorrow night against Stony Brook. It is a shocker. It is also a few other things. Number one, it's a very clear signal that Maneri and LSU don't intend to underestimate Stony Brook. In fact, Maneri said as much today. The exact quote to media types in BR, quote, they might beat us, but it is not going to be because we overlooked them, end quote. A lot of you are probably more than okay with that train of thought. I'm not going to attack it yet. Now, obviously, if things flame out, it changes the way they would line up their ducks in a row for pitching going forward. Yeah, the show Monday will be a little more uncomfortable. But I'm not going to knock it yet, because I do see a couple of other angles where this isn't a bad thing. They're putting their best foot forward against the four seed. And while it is unexpected and a shocker, I do believe it is a vote of confidence in Cole Henry on Saturday. Now, that part of things hasn't been announced. Mineri didn't lay out, hey, we're going to throw Marceau, and then when we win, we're throwing Henry. Or if we lose, we're throwing Walker, whatever it may be. But I do think this is a vote of confidence in Cole Henry, who threw three innings to begin SEC tournament play for LSU a week ago Tuesday. You know he'll be fresh if he's got his stuff and he's healthy. Cole Henry had the best stuff of anyone on the pitching staff all of about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And so if he's regained that form, I would take this as a vote of confidence in Cole Henry. The other thing, the other part of the thinking, from what I could tell, is that Landon Marceau, conceivably, will bring you a little deeper into that opening game. What does that do? Saves arms. And so if you're going Cole Henry, even if you go Eric Walker to start against whoever, Arizona State, Southern Miss in the winner's bracket on Saturday, you're going to be able to chase them theoretically with Hess, theoretically with Devin Fontenot, with Beck, or even, and I know this will be a surprise, Trent Vitmeyer, who has had a miraculous recovery. That's quote-unquote from Mineri today. So certainly not a bad thing when you look at the direction of this pitching staff, but this was a shocker. Marceau is going to go against Stony Brook. I can see the devil in the details. I can see the method in the madness. Let's see if it works. But they're putting their best foot forward early. If it minimizes bullpen arms in game one, and Cole Henry is right, this would be the absolute best way to set it up. But there are some ifs involved there. There always are at this time of year when you get to postseason play. All right, finishing out our split screen, part three. This is the smallest in scope, but you'll still appreciate it nonetheless. Announcement came out today that CAA Sports will be representing Zion Williamson. What does that mean to you? Basically, it ain't Clutch Sports Management. That might be the best news of all concerning Zion Williamson and his inner circle heading into the NBA. Or I'll back that up, heading to New Orleans, which he will be on June the 20th. So you don't have to worry about him pulling an Anthony Davis, at least not right away, while he retains the services of CAA Sports. So your big three to take right off the top today. Cajuns, Mississippi State will play at 11 a.m. Good for branding. Good for maybe catching State off guard. Not so much for the fan base. Marceau will go against Stony Brook. It's a risk. However, it's not risking the first game quite as much. Another way to look at it. And finally, no Clutch Sports Management for Zion Williamson. And you can thank the big guy upstairs for that. I told you we had great guests today. Now let me line them up for you. Hunt Palmer, where you're used to him, at 4:30. He'll be live from Baton Rouge previewing the Baton Rouge Regional. Does he like the move of Marceau tomorrow night? Jeff Horchek, his swan song. From 5 to 5:30, he's finishing up his last few days as an employee of KLFY TV 10. It'll be his final Thursday with us. You get a chance, come out and join. Again, 5 until 5:30, Jeff Horchek in the building. And at straight up 6 o'clock, yep, a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, Dan McDonald talking Cajuns. A little bit on next football season, but also looking ahead to next weekend's induction ceremony for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches. We are locked and loaded today, and we're also going to give a birthday shout-out to our man here at the bar, a happy birthday to Rick Randall. He hit the big 65 today on May the 30th. The celebration for him, for us, just beginning. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in, and an important question, I think, coming up sooner than later. But first, just can't let a man live. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back into the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Clint, I could have sworn that as I gave a birthday shout-out to somebody here at the Taproom, Rick Randall, I said congrats on the big 6-5. Could have sworn I said 65. I got a text right out of the segment. He's not 55. My friend Rick is 65, one of our loyal listeners to the program, and somebody else who comes to the Tap Room. So, man, just trying to help a guy shave 10 years off, but nobody letting him escape justice with the birthday. All right, we're going to switch topics a little bit, and this one has, I think you can interpret, a pretty fun sports lean to it. It came up because of a recent situation, some family friends of mine, and like so many other things in my life, I said, you know what? We're putting this to a vote. We're putting this to the men and women of Acadiana. We're putting it out there as the sink or swim question of the day. CD, first, the music.
Love, exciting and new.
Here we go. Your sink or swim question of the day. If your son or daughter wants to go out of state to college, where would you most like slash allow them to go? Now, I recognize fully that for some of you, maybe even many of you, this won't be hypothetical. You've already come across this in your life. That's fine. You can call in. You don't have to say, where would you like them to go? Where would you allow them to go? You could share your experiences, both the good and the bad, but I'll tell you, there are a lot of different angles that you could take here. Like, hey, you kind of enjoy certain college towns. You wouldn't mind going there. Like, you wouldn't be caught dead going to that town if you can avoid it, unless your son or daughter's graduating, and then to move them in, but that's all you want of that town. Or it could be the sports side of things. Again, this came up recently in my life, so I'm going to farm it out a little bit. Acadiana, how do you feel on this one? If you've had it happen to you or you're just thinking about it like me, what would be an ideal fit? What would you like? 706-0111. And so, CD, of course, first we're going to throw it immediately to somebody younger than the age of 30. Where would you send yours?
You know, I'd probably wind up going more towards Texas. I think the University of Texas would be a great place. You're talking about a college town? That is the epitome of a college town outside of the state of Louisiana, because obviously UL Lafayette is a pretty decent college town, if I do say so myself. So I'd probably go Texas 1 and then a 1B here, Ben. I'd probably wind up leaning Mizzou on that one, on this answer.
You are on the take, and I won't be convinced otherwise. Danny Jones slipped you a Finsky to throw that out there. So there's one vote for the University of Texas. Part of the reason this came up with some family friends is somebody we know pretty well, their daughter is just hell-bent on going to Alabama. You could probably have guessed that that's why this question took root. And it is. I'm not saying that if your son or daughter gets a scholarship to Alabama, you would tell them you can't go. Usually that's a line in the sand. And I don't mind telling you, it was for my parents. They told me from a young age, you get a scholarship, you go where you want. If you've earned it, go where you want. Pursue what you want. And so I did. Georgia was one of the places I got a scholarship to. Went there and paid less than most of my friends to go to LSU. Great experience. Wouldn't change it. Wouldn't do it differently if I had an opportunity. Took about 15 years off of my life with the booze in downtown Athens. But, you know, these are inherent risks that we understand. But the Alabama thing would have been very hard for my parents to swallow. Again, if I had gotten a scholarship, do what you do. But they wouldn't have necessarily liked it. They probably wouldn't have visited too often. So I think there are LSU and UL fans that may feel a certain kind of way about this topic. I'm just curious what it is, or maybe I'm being a little too sports-centric with my thinking. Imagine that. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Ron, happy to hear from you first. What you got for us?
Yeah, Ben, I could say, well, maybe not where, but I kind of been through that situation growing up. My older sister graduated a lot earlier than I did. And I could tell you one place my daddy didn't want her to go. She had a chance to go to Tulane. And my daddy wouldn't let her go to New Orleans. and she wound up going to Lamar in Beaumont. So it's not the University of Texas, but it was in Texas. So I don't know if that's any preference to this conversation, but I know where he didn't want her to go. So
Look, that's just as important in this whole conversation, isn't it? Where you might not allow your child to go. Let's keep it going a little bit. Rob's got us off to a good start. We got time for more. 706-0111. The fun part about this is people of different ages listening and interacting. And so maybe you've been through this as a child. Maybe you've got a child and you've been through it on that side, or you're just kind of thinking of it hypothetically, which, again, is more along the lines of what yours truly is doing. Let's get some responses so far. We'll go to Facebook. Zelda C. says, to the one they choose, it's their life, folks. All right, well, she ain't wrong. She's not. It's not exactly being taken in the sports context in which I kind of framed it, but you know what? She answered it by the letter of the law, and Zelda, I respect that. Robert D., any one of them they want and need to cut their own path. Perhaps this is not being taken the way I intended, at least on Facebook. But I like the way Ron looked at it. Not going to New Orleans, not doing that. But you can go to the state of Texas. His was Lamar. CD is voting for the University of Texas. I'm just wondering if there are restrictions that anybody may have and why. I've got a few thoughts from my end. I'll share them momentarily. But let's keep getting yours. Back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline we go. Chris, what you got for us?
Hey, man. Well, I'm an LSU graduate, and, you know, my wife's an LSU graduate, but I got a daughter in high school, and I would like to see her, if it wasn't LSU, where she wants to go. She wants would be TCU, because that's where my grandparents went, and my grandfather played basketball there, and I just like that university and the atmosphere there.
I am not a big Dallas fan. I am a big Fort Worth fan, Chris. I get it with Fort Worth. It's just enough college town. Got some weirdness to it. I like Fort Worth.
Yes, sir. That's my take.
You're the man. Thanks, Chris. I have covered, let's see here, two LSU kickoff classic games in Dallas and one bowl game, if I'm not mistaken. I did not enjoy my time the first few trips to Dallas. And, of course, I had been there for other reasons as a youngster. Dallas just isn't my jam. I don't know any other way to put that. It's a little bit too much about the money, and the people there just run me the wrong way. But Fort Worth carves out a little bit of a different niche. And so, yeah, the last time that I went to Dallas, quote-unquote, the greater metropolitan area, to cover one of those LSU games, stayed in the Fort Worth area. In fact, as I recall, I'll use an RP3 phrase here. The good brother, Shea Dixon, was involved in that trip. We had a lot of fun. Thank you, Fort Worth. We got time for more here. 706-0111. And so far, nobody has drawn the complete line in the sand. I haven't heard the word forbid or any version of that, right? Forbade. Nobody's gone that route just yet. I'm wondering if that exists out there, though. And, you know, there's another one that I would bring to the table here with the sports tie-in. I think it's pretty darn cool that Mike Bianco forbade his children from playing baseball at Ole Miss. I love it, in fact. And so Drew, now at LSU, author of the best pippage of the bat flip we've seen this season, high school, college, pro, name your level, doesn't matter. None were better than Drew Bianco on his dad's birthday in Alec Box. So I like that one, and that would be a good example for this question. We'll take another. Back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, it's your turn. What you got?
Yeah, well, there's actually two schools, and it all depends on what sport. If my son would want to play basketball, I'd say Kansas. And if he wants to play football, I'd say Michigan. But I absolutely forbid Alabama. I don't care if you get a scholarship. I'm LSU homegrown. No Alabama.
Laying down the law. Thank you, Tyler.
All right.
And see, Tyler's thinking about this from another angle that I like as well. And there's the forbid. Alabama. No go. You go to Bama. You put on houndstooth. Don't come back to this home. But I like the other way Tyler looked at it. where would you want your son or daughter to play? And a lot of those factors go back to who's the coach, what's the system like, the pedigree of success, right? The, I guess, spectrum of the program. So that's a good one. Tyler says Kansas basketball, rarefied air, Michigan football. I like this so far. Again, there are a lot of different ways to look at it and interpret it. To our Facebook peeps so far responding, I'm not trying to suggest that kids can't go places and we're trying to hold them back. All right, this isn't a No Child Left Behind operative here. Just curious how you feel about it as a dad or mom. We'll take more of these calls as the show goes on. But on the other side, we're taking it to Baton Rouge. Hunt Palmer schooling us on LSU baseball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Some finals. San Francisco winning at Miami over the Marlins 3-1. St. Louis a 5-3 win over the Phillies.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Let's get Hunt involved with our little game, and then we will talk a lot of LSU baseball as we're on the eve of the Baton Rouge Regional. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Enough of the formality. Let's go to BR. Aboard the ARTCO Equipment Hotline, he is Hunt Palmer, and you can hear Outside the Box. Hunt, along with Charles Handegriff, you'll find it at 1045ESPN.com. How are you, Hunt?
Doing well, man. How's it going?
It's going well, and here's your hypothetical to mull for down the line when you and your lovely wife have children. Is there a college that you would forbid him or her from going to?
It would be very difficult to strike a check to a lot of schools, Alabama included, Texas A&M included. Those are the top two, I think.
Okay. Yeah, and we've had some of that so far. Just curious where you weigh in there. We'll have to pick that up with our listeners a little bit later. Let's get to the LSU baseball. You know the big story today. Landon Marceau will get the pill against Stony Brook. I get the reasons why, but I'll get your take on why this could work out for the best, why this is a good idea for Manarian Dunn.
Well, it's not what I would do, and it's unusual for Paul Maneri to do this. He has never sent, quote-unquote, his best pitcher to the mound in game one of a regional. That's if he's the one seed or the two seed. He's only been a two seed twice, but he didn't do it either time. And there can be an argument made that Cole Henry's the best pitcher and Landon Marceau is not. It'd be a difficult one to make based on the last month. But I think there maybe are more than one or two factors at play here. There are a lot. And, you know, I can kind of go through some of them. One, it's important to get off to a good start. So you want to put a guy that you have confidence in. That's one. Marceau's throwing the ball great. You feel good about that. Two, a lot of people thought Eric Walker would get the ball here. He was really bad in Hoover. He threw 4 1/3 innings and allowed 17 base runners. He hit 4 guys. He walked 5 more, gave up, I think, 8 hits and 6 runs and 4 1/3. He was really bad last week. So do you trust him right out of the chute in game one of a regional? Maybe not. Also, you know, you don't maybe feel like this offense is as good as you were in 17 or maybe 15 or 13. So you feel like you need to pitch better on Friday of the regional than you did maybe in those days. I think all of that may be in play, and maybe more importantly, this is going to be a bullpen, a regional that LSU uses its bullpen as much as it has in any other regional, just because that's more so the strength of the pitching staff. So, you know, you're not counting on your Friday and Saturday pitchers to give you 7 or 8 innings like maybe you would have if it was Nola or Gausman or Lang. So a lot of factors at play. I don't think it's just necessarily one, but obviously Landon Marceau is throwing the ball really well, and they hope that continues tomorrow and they get off to a good start and win game one of the regionals.
Again, I wouldn't have bet on this path either, Hunt, but the last point that you made, I did in the opening segment, I think it's the best one. This might be the best opportunity to save bullpen arms for Saturday and beyond. And along those lines, I'll get your reaction to Paul Menieri announcing today that Trent Ventmire has had a miraculous recovery. Where does he fit into the grand scheme of LSU's relievers?
Well, a regional is obviously, you know, games, but it's a collection of outs, and you can chop them up any way you want. Now, what LSU's done in the past is generally get your Friday guy to go deep into a game against a poor team and then use the back end of your bullpen to get the last few innings. And then you hand the ball to your horse on Saturday, and he throws 7, 8, 9 innings, and you don't have, and then you maybe only use your closer in that one. And then Sunday, by the time the other team's staff is depleted, you hope your offense takes over in the later games and your bullpen's not as big a deal on Sunday. That's in an ideal world, but rarely does an ideal world play out, and especially with this pitching staff. So Trent Ventmire absolutely is a guy that somewhere along the line they're going to ask to get 4, 5, 6 out. And where that is, whether that's tomorrow in a tie game early, or whether that's with an early deficit tomorrow and Marceau just doesn't quite have it. You know, obviously if Marceau goes deep into the game and then they need to get, you know, 6 outs with a 1-run lead, that's going to be more so Hess and Fontenot and Peterson and Beck and those guys. But Ventmire absolutely factors in. And I think probably in a situation where LSU is tied or just a little bit down and they're trying to stay in the game.
Talking now with Hunt Palmer, the Baton Rouge Regional starts tomorrow afternoon. LSU Stony Brook begin at 6 p.m. Some other interesting news, Hunt, that I'll get your reaction on. Brant Broussard threw today. Menieri says that he will rejoin the starting lineup. He had improved offense in Hoover. Is that production you could count on moving forward?
You can't lean on it to carry your offense, but absolutely you can count on Brant Broussard to get a hit or two in a game and maybe steal a base and create some havoc on the infield. He struggled on defense a little bit in Hoover, but obviously the injury, you know, that has something to do with it, I'm thinking. But obviously on the offense, he's been a little bit better recently. So, yeah, I think LSU's offense shapes up pretty good this weekend for a few reasons. One, none of the other three teams in the regional have a dominant left-handed pitcher, and that's given LSU fit. Two, the hitting conditions are going to be awesome this weekend. It's going to be really warm. The wind's going to be blowing out. That's bombs away from the offense. And, you know, with Broussard coming back, Velosa coming on, Saul Garza has been phenomenal over the last 3 weeks. So that gives you some help. You need Cabrera to get it going again. But, you know, LSU's offense is deeper right now than it was 6 weeks ago, that's for sure.
Am I getting too fixated on the collective bomb squad that is Arizona State and overlooking Southern Miss, Hunt? I've been doing that all week on the show. Is that an error on my part?
Well, Arizona State's better offensively than Southern Miss. You know, Southern Miss has got a guy with 21 home runs, too, so they can swing the bat as well. But Arizona State's better offensively. But this is not the Arizona State team that was 21-0 to start the season. They played 500 ball for about 2 months now, and that's because their pitching staff hasn't been great. We'll see what they decide to do tomorrow. But like I said earlier, a couple of right-handers with pedestrian numbers for those guys right now that are at the top of their rotation. If LSU can find a way to win the first two games, I don't see the pitching staffs for the other teams being able to close out that weekend. It would have to be the bomb squad to come in, and that's very doable. I think by the end of this regional, there are going to be some fireworks, but hopefully LSU's in a better spot.
Coming down the stretch with our guest, Hunt Palmer, a great follow on Twitter, at HuntPalmer88. Have you ever covered or observed an LSU sporting event quite like the Stony Brook Super Regional in 2012?
Oh, no. I mean, I'll tell stories about that one forever. I mean, whether it's in Jacoby Jones, then Tyler Moore, then Mason Katz, all hitting game-tying home runs and extra innings in game for the Super, coming back the next day, and Kevin Gausman coming in to finish game one before starting game two. And Katz gets the walk off. Just it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained for days. We felt like we were at the park for just unlimited amounts of hours. And I've always been disgusted about the fact that they wouldn't stop the game when it was raining during game two. And it was very obvious that Kevin Gausman couldn't grip a breaking ball, so he just went straight fastballs. And Stony Brook got him for 3 runs. And LSU couldn't swing the bats after that and ended up losing 2 games. But it was just thick with storylines, with drama. It was amazing to watch, and obviously in South Louisiana, disappointing with the ending.
I'll get you out of here with this. And I look, I fully acknowledge this is cart ahead of the horse, but would you be surprised if Georgia doesn't win their Athens regional? In other words, you think there's a chance if LSU survives, they play a super in the box?
There's all Rice had three first-round picks in their pitching staff in 2002, and they didn't get out of a regional because they lost to Texas Southern in game one. There's always a chance, but I think Georgia is very much the best team over there. Their pitching staff is dominant, even from the starting staff to the bullpen. They're not great offensively, but they're good defensively, and they've got a dominant staff. I don't love the teams over there, the Florida State and the Florida Atlantic. I like Georgia to win that regional, but anything can happen.
You know, we appreciate the time, Hunt. I hope you enjoyed the golf last weekend, but now it's all baseball for you, brother. So get to the box, stay at the box. We'll be following you.
You better believe it. Thanks, Ben.
There it is. That was Hunt Palmer. And if he's done with this radio show, and it's 4:43 p.m., that means it's Bud Light time for our man. We appreciate him putting in the work. Quick break. We'll come right back in. Your thoughts on LSU baseball. The decision to start Landon Marceau tomorrow night. Plus, we'll get into the NBA Finals thoughts. I have them. Again, we'll take yours as well. 706-0111. Plus, get back in on our sink or swim question of the day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in to the place to be every Thursday, the Tap Room River Ranch. You're listening to 103.7 The Game.
To the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Here we go. 12 minutes until 5 o'clock. Back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. And we're going to have some fun here this afternoon into this evening. The show runs until 7. After that, about an hour after that, in fact, we'll pass the baton. Carl Sagne laying down the sound tonight. No rhythms on the river. No problem. You'll get live local music and no cover charge. Carl Sagne playing at the Tap Room tonight from 8 until 11. And you can come out and see our next guest at 5 o'clock, Jeff Horchek. He'll be with us for the final time before he moves to Monroe. Come out and say goodbye to Horchek if you can. If you can't, but you want to join the conversation, we encourage that as well. 706-0111. I wouldn't mind getting back in to the sink or swim question of the day. If your son or daughter wants to go out of state to college, where would you most like slash allow them to go? But I also dig the way this has been interpreted. Where might you forbid them to go? In fact, I like the way Hunt put it. Where would it be just a little cumbersome, feel a little bit like biting the curb for you to have to stroke a check if your son or daughter went to a certain place? For Hunt, Alabama, A&M, non-starters. Hey, that's the first time since we asked the question that anybody has spoken ill of Texas. In fact, Clint's riding like vice president on a presidential campaign with Danny Jones, and they're all in on Texas. So Clint went with the Longhorns. We've had Chris call in and say TCU. Ron called in and said, hey, it happened to my sister. My dad said no to New Orleans. That means no to Lane, but yes to Lamar. There's definitely a sports aspect of this. I'd love to hear it. 706-0111. In fact, let's get out now to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Tom, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks. Yeah. Now, the way I look, now look, I'm a diehard Saints fan, and I'm a diehard LSU fan, and I'm a rival with all the states like everybody else is. But the way I look at it, if your child wants to go to a college, it does not matter whether we're rivals with them. All that matters is if it's a reputable college and if they get an education.
There was a strong argument among some family friends of mine. You just helped to prove the side of one of them. So Tom, I want you to know that I will be clipping out that audio and playing it for them tomorrow when I see them. Thank you, my friend.
My pleasure, sir. You have a great day.
You as well. And look, I'll use myself as an example. I grew up in Baton Rouge. I was one of 206 kids at an all-boys school, Catholic in Baton Rouge, to graduate in my class. I never remember the exact number, but I always remember that it was in the 160s. And that is not a joke, and it's not hyperbole. 160-something out of 206 in my graduating class went to LSU. There was no chance in hell I was doing that. And it was really simple. I wasn't anti-LSU. I know you people. I need to know different people. I need to forge myself through some different experiences. For me, that was important. I'm not saying it is or it should be for everyone. My point there would be I was allowed to do that. I was allowed to forge those experiences also because I earned it and got a substantial scholarship to go where I wanted to go. But I have no problem in also telling you when I was making my decisions, and if you've ever watched me pick my losing fantasy sports teams, I still operate this way today in 2019, same as it was for me in 2003. I'm going to do my research, absolutely. I'm going to be schooled. I'm going to know the factors I like, just like the reasons why I would draft a player in fantasy or trade for one. And so your boy was glued for about six straight months to the Princeton Review. I was lucky enough to have a dad and a mom who wanted me to see universities, big, small, public, private. And the moment I got to downtown Athens, a bit of a light bulb went off. I said, whoa, I grew up in a college town of sorts, LSU. I know what that life was like. Had enough guys that went to my high school before me that I joined them from some partying in high school. Yes, parents, it happens. But I looked at downtown Athens and, wow, my dad later referred to that area as adult fantasy camp. He wasn't wrong. But then the other part of it is, I said, I'm going to get a chance to watch top-notch, or at least relatively top-notch football in front of 92,000 people at the time on a weekly basis. Yeah, I'm in on that as well. So I'm curious if the sports side of this impacts anything you have to say. Maybe not necessarily forbidding, although it could be that. Or it could be that you'd love to be a part of X or Y, like Tyler said. If he had a son or daughter that had an opportunity to play basketball, he'd love it to be Kansas. Football, he'd love it to be Michigan. So, again, there are different ways that you can attack this. All right, we'll get back out now to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Enough of me. DJ, what you got?
As much as I don't like Bama, I would rather pay tuition to Bama than if my kid won free full ride to Ohio State, I'd rather pay tuition to Bama.
That's an indicting statement on Ohio State, DJ. I get it.
I just don't like Ohio State. I never have, man. Never have.
You're not the only one. Thank you for the call, brother. I like that. I'll go back to the homie Hunt's verbiage. He'd rather stroke a check to Bama than allow a kid to go on a full ride to the Ohio State University. See, I knew these kind of things existed. I just needed to pull them out of you a little bit. And I'm not going to let you know which side I'm on. But the heated debate with the family friend that occurred recently, I was definitely on one side more than the other. I'll be taking clips from both sides of the aisle and sharing it with said family friends. This is fun for me. Hopefully you too. Let's keep taking your polls. Back out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Frank, weigh in for us.
All right. I don't like stealing the cookies out of another man's cookie jar, but I got to go with Tom. As long as it's an education and they can get the hell out of my house.
Yes.
That's point number one. I've already told all four of my kids, do not do the job I do because it's hard on your body. And not too many people can do the job I do. So find an education, wherever you can get an education at. Have a problem with colleges. That's it. But I will throw a caveat in there.
All right, hit me.
Okay. The question you asked yesterday, I've been chewing on it for 24 hours. If I had to pick an MVP, I'd pick, and Clint can play the sound, Paul Molinari. he's the MVP. Because what he did with the pitching staff is phenomenal. To get them to where they're at, I think is truly the sign of a great coach.
Hey, that's the guy that everybody wanted to fire about 3 weeks ago. You remember?
Well, I mean, I'm not that guy that fires coaches, if you remember.
No. Oh, yeah. No, look, I'm not putting those words in your mouth. I wouldn't do that. But, yeah, there were a lot of people that brought out the conclusions, Matt, and started to jump a little bit, as you recall.
Yeah, well, I mean, what he's done with I think you call it a MASH unit, I think it's phenomenal. Antoine Duplantis, I was up in the air between him and Molinari, but I think you got to give the MVP to Molinari.
I love that you're referencing that sound. And believe me, we will play it. Frank, that was too easy.
That was too easy, Ben.
He's smooth, man. That guy calls in, and he's got some chops now. I like that. CD. Before we get to the final word, I know you've got that drop. Hit me.
Paul Molinari.
That is from the very first week of this program. So now, quite literally, that sound is 4 years and like 3 days old. I'll explain it more on the other side of the hour break. I just wanted you to hear it, but I will explain the Paul Molinari for the uninitiated. All right, Clint, we'll hit a different sounder. It's time for one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Eject. And on the first day of the NBA Finals, isn't it funny that Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni, he's ended talks with management on a contract extension. What does that mean? D'Antoni will just complete his final season, 2019-2020, and then he's out. I mean, they've been one of the top teams in the NBA. Just can't get over the hump, and it looks like the coach of the Rockets is ready to hit the eject button. That's the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. Jeff Horchek, when we return, you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. Ben Love, and I'll be joined by Jeff Horchek for the next 30 minutes. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports back in and live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Have to give a nod to our man inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing, none other than the famous Clint D. So much going on in the world of sports. NBA Finals begin tonight. Baton Rouge Regionals, well, they start tomorrow. I wonder what we should lead off with.
Paul Molinari.
I thought we might. Jeff, as we bring you in here, the very first week of this show, May of 2015, Molinari came on and said the worst anybody's ever butchered his name. This will take you back. Lou Holtz.
Really?
Holtz was the head football coach at Notre Dame.
Lou Holtz.
That one. One in the same. Lou was the head football coach at Notre Dame. Molinari was the baseball coach there. And when they went into donors' houses and the big wigs, that is how did you say it?
Lou Holtz.
That's how he would introduce Paul Molinari. This is my good friend, Paul Molinari.
Paul Molinari.
He was right there with it, wasn't he?
Well, he had trouble with those Italian names, right? This Molinari, you know, it's funny. You know, Lou Holtz was in Lafayette a few years ago. I think he was the guest speaker at the Acadian Ambulance banquet where they name a Acadian Ambulance Paramedic of the Year. And he was guest speaker, and they said, you know, when you talk to him, you kind of have to have towels with you because he spits all over you. He has some type of speech impediment, but, you know, great coach, great motivator. But, yeah, I can see how he can mess up Paul Molinari's name.
Something I can't mess up. Nobody would let me live it down. I'm calling it your swan song with us. And the reality is this. I know that you've only got precious time left in Lafayette. You're making the move to Monroe. Everybody here is sad to lose you in that respect, but happy for the opportunity. Give us the timeline. How much more of Jeff Voracek do we get in Acadiana?
Well, tomorrow will be my final show on Paw Spot 2, final time I anchor the morning show. 5 years I've done that show, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a work in progress, but, man, we've come a long way in 5 years. So that'll be my final day at KLFY. My contract ends, and then my aunt and uncle are going to be having a 50th anniversary shindig in Longview, Texas. So I'm going to shoot over for that, and then I will be coming back. And then Sunday night we're going to start loading up the moving trucks with my valuables. And then Monday morning we'll load up the rest of it, and then we'll head to Monroe Monday. And then I got to come back for some work with my house here on Thursday. And then I don't start at KNOE anchor in the evenings till June 10th, which is the following Monday. So I have about a week to move in, get settled in before I go to work, and I kind of plan it out that way. You know, just give me a little time to take a breath and take everything in, and then hit the road.
You have spent so much time working in sports. I know you'll be anchoring with KNOE, but you're also a rabid sports fan. So I'm curious if you've thought this part through yet. You've told me that you're going to have a life now. I mean, your hours are more like 1 to 10, 10:30 as opposed to the bat bleep hours that you work right now. How will that allow you to consume sports in a better fashion?
Well, I'll probably get a chance to see more games live than I have in the past, because a lot of times I'd watch a game in the first half and then I have to go to bed because, you know, the morning was coming early. So I'll get to see probably more live events. You know, I think from a social aspect, I will hopefully be able to have a little bit more of a social life, because when I was in sports, I worked weekends a lot. So I was the weekend anchor. So my weekends were tied up flying around, going to ball games. And then when I moved to mornings for the anchor job for news, I was having to, of course, get to bed early during the week and then get up early. And then my weekends, a lot of times I was catch up on sleep and resting up. So it did take – your social life takes a hit when you make a lot of sacrifices in this business. And radio guys do too as well. It's quite a sacrifice. But
just uglier.
Yeah, it's uglier. You have to be a special breed to do this job. But at the same time, I think this shift will be a little bit – it'll be as normal as a shift as you're going to find in TV. Put it to you that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We got between now and 5:30 to keep exploring the space with Jeff Voracek, KLFY TV 10 for another 29-30 hours, and then he'll be making the move to Fun Road. Call up, talk to Jeff if you'd like, 706-0111. I mentioned that tonight begins the NBA Finals. A couple of storylines that'll get your thoughts. There's a new challenger to the throne, first time Toronto has ever been in the NBA Finals. The Warriors will now be in five straight. This will be the first time LeBron and the Cavs aren't on the other side. And I found this interesting as well. I don't know that it matters a lot. The Raptors went 2-0 against the Warriors during the regular season. So take any of that stood out to you. You think we get a compelling final series?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, you look at it, and I was pulling for the Bucks. We talked about that the last few weeks. I was really a Bucks fan this year, and hoping that the Greek Freak and company could get to the finals and maybe win a championship. But they just, you know, they won those first two games, and then they basically choked the rest of the series. Ran into a buzzsaw. Toronto got hot, won a couple. You know, took a couple there and tied it up, and then won four straight and won the series, and it was over. It was that quick. But you look at Toronto's defense. They are very good defensively. They got two stellar defensive players, and they're going to make it tough on Golden State. I don't think this is going to be an easy series by any means. And if their defense plays like they did against Milwaukee, because they made adjustments after those first two losses and shut down the Bucks' offense enough to be able to win four straight, you know, Steph Curry doesn't have a breakout series, and Durant's not playing. This could be an interesting series, and Toronto could win this thing. I mean, it's very possible. They picked up Kawhi Leonard, you know, in the offseason, and, boy, has he turned out to be all as advertised. He stepped up big in big spots. So I think the key is to watch Toronto's defense, and if their defense plays like they did in the previous series, the Eastern Finals against Milwaukee, then they could create some issues for Golden State. But Steve Kerr, veteran coach, won tons of titles. He's seen a lot of things. I don't know if they've seen a team quite as good defensively in the finals in the last few years they've had been the finals as this Toronto team.
A number of people, Jeff, and not just fans, but national talking heads, media members, suggesting that without Durant, the Warriors actually look better in the conference finals. Is that possible? You agree with that?
Well, it's hard to say that. because many people feel like he was the best all-around player this year, and he's such a scoring machine, and such a mismatch problem. I think what they – I don't know if they think he's a better – they're a better team. I think maybe they mean more – the offense is a little more fluid without him. Remember when the Pelicans picked up DeMarcus Cousins, and then he got hurt, and their offense seemed to flow better without him because he demanded a lot of shots. Maybe that's what they're saying, same thing about Durant, is that there's only so many balls to go around, all those shooters.
Right.
And when you take Durant out of the picture, it allows Klay Thompson to get more shots, Steph Curry, everybody, Green, all those guys get more touches. Sometimes you can have too many stars, although the last year, when you add Durant to the picture, man, they were just they looked unbeatable. So I don't know if they're a better team. It's just their offense seems to flow a little better. But Durant is such a threat on both ends of the floor, and he's such a mismatch problem for teams. I know they would love to have him in this finals. It makes me still wonder, has he been ruled out the entire series or not?
No. In fact, the latest news is he is very unlikely to practice prior to game two. So he's absolutely ruled out of tonight, and it looks almost certain, at least what they're telling us, that he won't play in game two on Sunday. I don't think he's going to play at all.
Okay.
That's reading between the lines and looking at the tea leaves here, but unlikely to practice prior to game two is the last official word.
Okay, so maybe some of that will depend on how the series goes. If they go down in an 0-2 hole, they may say, Kevin, or can you go? We need you. I don't know. It makes you wonder, too, Ben, if he doesn't play in this series and they do happen to win the series, even if it goes six or seven games, does he stay there? Does he say, okay, they don't really need me, I'll go somewhere else, get a major payday, and be the guy? Now, he was the guy in Oklahoma City until Westbrook came along, and then you saw the power struggle there. So it makes me wonder. There's a lot of rumors going around. He wants to go to New York with Kyrie, and they want to build the power there. But I tell you, it's hard to leave a place like Golden State when you're going to be in the mix for a championship every year,
I think that franchise, at least the makeup of that roster, is going to look a lot different next season.
It could. And you got to understand, you have to pay these guys. There's a lot of stars on that team. They want to get paid. They want their cheese. So how much longer can they keep all those guys happy and be able to afford all those guys? That's the question, too. Yeah.
I know you love hoops, so we'll end this segment with another NBA-related question. Is there any particular franchise where you would be a little hacked off if Anthony Davis ended up? A place where you just, that's not going to sit well with me?
I really do not want to see him with LeBron and the Lakers.
Okay.
That's the one franchise that I really hope he doesn't go to. I wouldn't mind seeing him with the Clippers, anybody else, but not the Lakers. And I think it's because of what happened this past season. That just put a bad taste in my mouth. The way the whole thing was approached, I would like to see him not go to the Lakers. Any other team, hey, and whatever's best for the Pelicans, whatever's the best deal for them, I do believe that there are better deals out there than the Lakers can offer them right now. So I don't think from some of the comments we saw from Gail Benson this past week or so that she's going to allow a trade to the Lakers. So I put my money on he's not going to go to the Lakers, at least straight from the Pelicans. But if he goes to a team for a year or two and then maybe goes, but not the Pelicans aren't going to trade him to the Lakers. So, after L.A., I don't really care. Or the Lakers, I really don't care.
So it sounds like maybe in your perfect world, he would go to the Clippers because then the Lakers would have to watch him play in the exact same building.
That would be kind of bittersweet. That would be kind of cool to see that and go, okay, you want him in L.A., we'll put him in L.A., but to the team that you think is the stepchild all the time,
you know?
And the Clippers have some talent there.
That team would go to the playoffs immediately.
So if you put him there, and now it depends on what the Pelicans get in return. I don't think the Clippers are going to give up half their team to get AD, but if they – it just depends, but there's potential for the Clippers to be pretty competitive if they make a decent trade, don't give away the house, and still are able to land AD. And that it just makes you wonder if AD's ever going to be happy, though. I just wonder now that he's aligned himself with LeBron's crew if he'll ever be happy. If they put him in New York and he gets a huge payday, but they stink, then he's not going to be happy. If he goes to the Clippers and they don't win, he's not going to be happy. Even if he goes to the Lakers and they don't win a championship, is he going to be happy? I don't know now. Some guys are never happy. Now, I know he wants to win a championship. Everybody does. But maybe his best shot is to stay in New Orleans. Plus, from a pay aspect,
nobody
can pay him more. So, and I understand everything's not about money. But what other options are better? Is there a team out there you think if he goes there, that's an automatic championship, other than maybe Golden State? But would Golden State trade anybody? Who could Golden State trade to the Pelicans?
And see, that's the thing. Anybody that could take him on would probably have to give up so much that they're more in rebuilding mode than they are immediate contender mode.
Right.
I would think.
Nobody's mentioned Golden State about being interested in Anthony Davis. Have you thought about that? They have a lot of pieces over there. would they be interested in giving up a couple to get a young stud like that? I don't know. I'm just saying they have a great thing going there now.
Look, you know what's funny? I haven't thought of that.
Nobody's mentioned that.
But if I were to bark up that tree, it may surprise you which piece that I would clamor for. It ain't Kevin Durant. Give me Klay Thompson.
Shooting.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he can shoot.
To put him on the floor with Zion Williamson, with Drew Holiday, and Klay Thompson, I'll figure the rest out.
Yeah.
And you're also going to get more than just Klay Thompson in return for AD.
Right, because Klay's going to be up for free agency soon, right? So he's going to be available. Whether, you know, now, if Golden State backs up the Brinks truck to his house, maybe he stays. But you know he's going to get shots in New Orleans if he goes there. They're going to say, remember back when the Hornets had Peja? And yeah. all they asked him to do was spot up and drill threes. Klay could be that same type of guy, you know. And, yeah, there's a lot of options for the Pelicans now. They have more options than we thought originally before they got that number one pick. But I've never heard anybody mention Golden State, and I'm thinking, well, you know, although if Klay's a free agent, then you don't have to trade. It's not a trade. They just signed Klay Thompson, and then but you could still make a trade with them if there's somebody else you want. I don't know. I just haven't heard that team mentioned with. And maybe they're not willing to give up anything for Anthony Davis. Maybe they're not interested. They don't really need him, but they're not going to keep the nucleus they have together forever.
If you want that nucleus to be disbanded, the quickest way for that to happen is for them to lose to Toronto in the next 2 weeks.
Very true.
Think about it that way.
Yeah, no, and it could happen. It's very possible Toronto wins this series. I know Golden State has everything in their favor. They've won championships. Steve Kerr's a veteran coach. But I'm telling you, Toronto's defense is really, really good. And they're gonna make Golden State work to get shots off. And now with Durant out, that's gonna free up Leonard a lot more to be able to.
I agree.
Yeah, it's gonna free him up on defense. What I'm saying.
I agree.
So watch this series. It's gonna be interesting. This thing's gonna be. It's not gonna be a sweep by any means.
Is it crazy talk? I don't know, but we'll have more of it on the other side of this break. Ben Love hanging out for another segment with Jeff Horchak. For another day or so with KLFY TV 10 and the award-winning PASPA 2. We'll be right back into the Tap Room River Ranch. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Here we go, right back in with more of the good stuff. Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love and my wingman, he has been Thursdays in the 5 o'clock hour for several months now. Jeff Horchak of KLFY TV 10 moving to Monroe within the next week, so get him while he's hot and call while you can. 706-0111. It was announced today. I think it's good news, bad news, Jeff. UL Mississippi State will start the football season at 11 a.m. the
wow.
Superdome on Saturday.
That's early.
The good news is it's going to be on ESPNU, so the Cajuns, Billy okay. Napier, start year two on national television. I don't have to tell you the bad news. From a fan experience, what do you make out of that?
Well, that's a early wake-up call for you tailgaters. You're going to have to start drinking your brewskis probably around 6, 7 o'clock, so you're going to be probably asleep by 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Well, it might set up for the post tailgate.
That's true. That's true. If you can make it through, you know how these people are around here. They love they drink like fish. So we'll see. Yeah, I think that's been the reason the kickoff has been moved up, obviously because of TV. You know, and that makes sense. Yeah, it's early, but that maybe, like you said, maybe a good thing is then afterwards you can enjoy the city. You know, you have the rest of the day and the night, evening to enjoy the rest of the city. So that may work out almost like a bowl game, an early bowl game is what that's probably going to end up being like. It's a big game for Billy Napier. You know, I really feel like if they go into that game and they play well and they win that game, that's a huge statement game for Billy. He needs some signature wins, and that could be one.
You know,
first game of the year, too.
You know what that game is to me?
What's that?
It's a no-lose situation.
Yep, I agree.
You could lose the game.
Right.
Everybody thought you would.
Right.
To your point, it would put the program right back
yep.
on the map.
That is a game. If you lose, hey, no big deal. You lost to an SEC school. You're playing them in week one, so you're going to catch a team early in the year when they're probably going to be rusty. You never know what to expect in week one. You never do. They've had some coaching changes over there at State. You know, Mark Hudspeth left for the Austin Peay job. They've had some. You never know. That's when you catch those teams' best chance to beat them is early in the year. So this could be.
And now early in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Another good point. Very early kickoff. So, I mean, that could be, you know, Billy needs some signature wins, and this could be one. You know, Hudspeth had potential signature wins. He had Florida on the ropes. He had Kentucky on the ropes, but they never could close the deal. They had Ole Miss on the ropes. He could never close the deal. If Billy can go in there and win that game, that is huge. And then from a confidence standpoint, that sets your season up, you know. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch. I'm curious to see how the Cajuns play, and if they can pull that one out, that could be big.
Jeff Horchek, KLFY TV 10, and the award-winning Pospa 2, our guest for another few moments. We're live at the Tap Room River Ranch. What else, I guess, are you looking forward to about Monroe? Not just the lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Better hours, the opportunity to be an anchor where you're going to be doing that in prime time. Anything else about the sports scene up there that you either have heard about, you know from your time kind of in other parts of the state? What are you looking forward to from a sports standpoint?
Well, I'm interested in going to Ruston and catching a Louisiana Tech football game. I've always wanted to go. That's one university I haven't been able to attend a game. And I haven't been to a ULM game either, although I know, you know, football, they have a tough time getting people in there. But Matt Viator's trying to get that program back up and going. Of course, he was the successful McNeese coach and went up there, so he's working on that. But I want to go to a Tech football game. And also, obviously, the high school football scene up there is huge.
Yes.
I mean, Neville, West Monroe, that's the big one. You got a lot of other – Bastrop's have always been a power. Ruston High's always had a good program. So there's a lot of great high school programs, legendary ones up there. And I want to try – and obviously, I'm anchoring the 6 and 10, so Friday nights it'll be difficult. But I've been told that what they want to do at KNOE is they want to broadcast live a West Monroe-Neville game. And if that happens, the sports director, Aaron Dietrich, will be the play-by-play guy. They'd like me to be the color guy in the booth. So there may be a chance that I'll get a chance to do the West Monroe-Neville color for a game live on KNOE. They may end up having to push that game to a Saturday just because of, you know, the TV schedule. But I would love to do one of those games. So that may happen. So I'm curious to see. I've seen West Monroe play. I saw him play at Kadena High in the Superdome, and I saw Kadena High beat him, and I saw him lose as well. But I've never been to West Monroe for a high school football game or Neville, and those are two story programs that have turned out a lot of great players and had great coaches. And just, you know, when you talk about high school football in Louisiana, that part of the state is about as big as it gets.
Arguably the best program of the past, whatever you want to say, decade or two, in 5A versus 4A, that would be a treat. I mean, that really, really would be cool. Look, I'm a high school sports freak.
Yeah.
People listening to the show know that. I was hoping you'd go in that direction. I really was.
Yeah, and they also have some really good basketball programs up there, too, that have come on of late. You know, so sports is big up there, youth sports. Obviously, you have three universities in that area, Grambling State University, storied, you know, Eddie Robinson football program, and then you've got Louisiana Tech and Ruston, who's had a lot of success in football and basketball over the years. And then women's basketball, of course, they were one of the elite programs years ago. And then you got ULM, who, you know, back in 1987, they won the FCS. They were the 1AA national football champions. They had the quarterback by the name, I think, Stan Humphries was the guy. So they've had some great quarterback. You know, Bubby Brister came through there. Doug Peterson, who's the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. They've had some great athletes come through there. And then Louisiana Tech, I mean, with, you know, P.J. Brown, Karl Malone, Terry Bradshaw. You just go down the list of athletes, Kim Mulkey Robertson. I mean, you can just go down the list. And Grambling's had some great ones, you know, back in the day. So, I mean, it's just that sports is a big part of Northeast Louisiana, the culture. You got a lot of small towns, rural areas, but sports is a big part of that area. And I'm looking forward to checking out some of those venues that I have never had a chance to see in action.
And there's one part I can't help you with. You will be in muddied waters when it comes to NFL allegiance. Dude, you're moving up with some Cowboys fans. You know that, right?
I know that, but okay. You know what? I don't feel bad. There's still a big Saints base up there. They apparently show Saints games up there locally. So, you know, and I'm sure a lot of that's happened since the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era. Now, previous to that, probably getting more Cowboy games. But, yeah, you're gonna find some Cowboy fans up there. Maybe even a few stray Falcon fans, too. You know, you never know. Some lost birds. But you're right. You're gonna have some Cowboy fans up there. And, frankly, I mean, you got Cowboy fans everywhere these days. You know, you got Steeler fans everywhere. Because the Cowboys had such rich tradition in the 70s and then even into the 90s. But I will still be wearing my black and gold proud. Don't worry.
There we go. He is Jeff Horchek. This has been a lot of fun. Brother, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on, Ben. It's been a treat to be able to come on and talk sports with you on these Thursdays.
And he's brought Trooper. Come out and see him if you get a chance. I got to hit a quick break. We'll be right back in. Time to throw a little bit of shade, and Pat Forty is catching a lot of it these days. I will explain. We can take calls, and we're getting ready for Dan McDonald at straight up 6 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, just about 34 minutes after 5 o'clock on 103.7 The Game. You hear some of the fun in the background. That means we're at the Taproom River Ranch, and they've got live music tonight. Clint and I are with you until 7. We'll pass the baton, figuratively, to Carl Sonje. Live music, no cover charge. 8 to 11, come start your weekend early with us at the Taproom River Ranch. Some more good news, not just the Carl Sonje sound. CD got some Paul Mineri sound. We're going to air that out for you before the end of this hour. I want to get a little Baton Rouge regional centric. Yeah, I heard that Paul Molinari bit there. And, Clint, don't think I didn't hear what you said in the break to Jeff Voracek, by the way. I thought I wouldn't bring this live on air. You're outside your mind. You heard me roast myself recently. I think it was on Monday's show, our Memorial Day B2BS, right, when we started waxing on 4 years. Didn't that sound about right? Was it Monday?
Yeah. That's about right.
So we're waxing on 4 years of the program, and I said, lest I become Bob Hope and, you know, start telling the memorial stories every Christmas. Basically, children, it's Christmas time. Gather up by the fire. Uncle Bob's got a story for you. And then it's the same damn story every single holiday. So if I become that guy, or maybe I could use Dick Clark, right, with the New Year's Eve shows. Either example works. But if I become that guy and start telling the damn Paul Molinari story too often, just take me out back and old yeller me. Don't allow me to do that to the listening audience, Clint.
Like, sometimes bringing it up every now and again is fine. It's just, I feel like we've brought it up a handful of times over the last 4 years since we've been doing the program.
Let's retire it for a while. Otherwise, you're going to have to get the shotgun. Jordy will be doing 2 to 7 p.m. It'll be a whole thing that we probably, frankly, don't have the budget for. And I also just laid out the crime on radio, so, you know, then somebody's getting popped and going to the pokey for this. So let's just not let any of that happen. That's going to be the new plan. But after we throw a little shade, Here's another plan that's new. I want you to hear from Paul Mineri, his latest sound today. It'll include the rationale on starting Landon Marceau tomorrow night against Stony Brook. All right, before we get to any of that, time for your daily reminder. It's a PSA for you locally. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the standing seam, metal awnings, the retractable shades and screens, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust them to up your patio game before this football season in 2019. But you need to act quickly. Don't wait. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Look, there is coming from off the top rope, and then there is just body slamming somebody after coming from off the top rope. I'll explain for those that aren't Twitter savvy. Clint, I know that's not you, but for our listeners, even the ones that have seen this, they'll still enjoy it. Amy Just, for the time being, still with NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, had some records unsealed. And within her story published yesterday, Amy put out there that Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards kept tabs on Javonte Smart's playing status and Will Wade as well in text exchanges with LSU brass. But the governor's office says he was not trying to weigh in on whether he should or should not play. In fact, in the story from Amy, it makes it clear that John Bel Edwards was on board with Wade being suspended and expressed as much. And still, Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports decided that he should quote tweet the following. He looked at that Amy Just story, and here's what he had to say about that yesterday at 6:42 p.m. Interesting story. Governor of Louisiana wanted updates on Javonte Smart, Will Wade, when LSU was deciding who was going to be suspended and for how long, because Louisiana. That's how he ended his dispatch. Pat Forty ending things with because Louisiana. And if you thought you were getting that high heat by Dr. Jim Henderson, think again. For the uninitiated, Henderson, he's the president of the University of Louisiana system. Clint, this is smoke. This is how you come from off the top rope. Jim Henderson found that tweet from Pat Forty disgusting, and then he let him know about it. His response, because Louisiana, question mark, exclamation point, want to hate on our governor because he likes basketball? Fine. Come let me show you the nation's most advanced cybersecurity programs, the backbone of the nation's energy infrastructure, and the finest people on the planet. Delete your account. Dr. Jim Henderson, with several blows to the body and then an absolute Balboa uppercut to the chin of Drago there. Pat Forty, I think he felt that one on Twitter.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Now, I'll take it a step further. And you got to understand, you listen to this program. In fact, look, I remember it was probably 6, maybe 7 weeks ago. I was right here at the tap room, and I think it was our friend Little Johnny. But somebody called and basically said, hey, I love listening to the show, love your takes, but when it comes to Will Wade, I just don't want to hear it anymore. You've been wrong. I respected him then. I respect him now. What I will tell you is this, and I'll connect the dots between Pat Forty and what I just told you. I think you have to recognize where the line is. And even while I watched everything that was going on with Dick Vitale, and I thought there was some lunacy with him and the guys on the other side of the basin with radio, I'm not going down that full road with you, but there was some lunacy there. Because, of course, Baton Rouge, LSU, a lot of people there just defending, I think, the structure, right? Defending the house and saying, hey, everybody else is cheating. Why are you trying to mess with the church's money just because you think you have proof on us cheating? Find the proof, then you could do something. Nobody would raise their kids that way, so I've always thought that was kind of a ridiculous way of looking at it. But the point for me would be this. I understood for a while and to a point going up to a certain line where Vitale was coming from. I don't think he completely looked on the up and up with it, with his stances on Rick Pitino in the past, and I got why certain people in Baton Rouge, even media members, called him on it. I got it. I did. But I think even Vitale realized where the line was and eventually kind of crept back from it. Did a little crawfishing. You listen to this show, you can probably tell, and I'll assure you it's intentional. I don't bring that subject up as much anymore. Because I know we don't feel the same by and large, and I don't agree with some of the things that Wade has done. And I'm not going to tell you that Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser is completely right, but I don't think he's completely wrong either. His opinion piece is very interesting. And it's the idea that just because there's no tape, that's not a good enough defense for LSU, for Wade, or really for anybody. Again, I'm not going to tell you that he's completely right there, but he ain't completely wrong. Just because somebody can't nail you to the wall for a crime, if you did commit it, and boy, I think there's pretty strong evidence that he did, I just think you have to be careful. And if you recognize where the line is, you got to treat it that way publicly. And so I've treated the subject a certain way publicly on this show because of that. I see where the line is. I'm not going to, as Dave Chappelle once said, I'm not going to be a habitual line stepper. I'm not going to keep going on the other side of it. I don't want to piss you off. I'm not going to change my belief system. I know what I know. But in the case of Forty, and here we go full circle finally, yeah, I'll land the plane. Forty, I think, has seen the line and isn't wise enough to save himself from completely making an ass out of himself and jumping over it. And so he continues, as does Pete Thamel, to put out pieces on Yahoo Sports that really don't have a lot of meat on the bone. They don't have a lot of substance. And so while I respected the reporting those guys were doing for a while, and no doubt they were being spoon-fed by lawyers that had things to gain in the federal trial, while I defended some of that reporting, some of the things they're doing now are a little silly. And so I don't mind the people that are then coming back and chin-checking them on it. So Dr. Jim Henderson, what I would say, as an almost lifelong resident of Louisiana, good on you for what you had to say. All right, we're going to take our final break of the hour. If you want to respond to any of that, we got time for you. 706-0111. We'll also let you hear the latest from LSU baseball head coach Paul Maneri. And then Dan McDonald at straight up 6 o'clock, a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. Our cup runneth over on a Thursday. And we'll be right back to the Tap Room River Ranch. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, ready to talk more LSU baseball. Not so much me, but their head coach. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. For the next hour and 10 minutes, we'll be doing our thing at the Tap Room River Ranch. If you want to intercede, weigh in, hit us up, 706-0111. Otherwise, let's get to the CPM coach, Paul Maneri, the thing on everybody's mind. Why start Landon Marceau in the opener against Stony Brook? And some may be a little jaded when they ask that. Little upset because Maneri's never done this, as Hunt Palmer mentioned the 4 o'clock hour. Whether as the one or two seed in a regional, Maneri's never given his best arm the ball and the bump in game one. And so whether you're jaded, upset about it, or you just want an honest to goodness answer, either way, here's what Maneri had to say.
Landon Marceau's been pitching great baseball for us. And, you know, a lot of times when you're the host and a one seed, you feel like you can kind of pitch off, you know, to your first opponent, but I don't feel like we can do that with Stony Brook. I think they're too talented of a team, and they swing the bats, they're aggressive. I just think we need to pitch one of our better top guys against them, and I think Landon's been pitching as well as anybody, and I feel like he has the best chance to get us off to a good start this weekend. So we're just not, you know, it's a sign to our team, my team, that we're not taking this team lightly at all, that we need to go at them with a guy that's been pitching really well for us, and hope that he continues to pitch well.
There is no debating that Marceau has the hot hand. And as Maneri said during another portion of his media appearance today when referring to Stony Brook, he said, they might beat us, but it is not going to be because we overlooked them. Let's get to some more audio, more on Marceau, specifically what Paul told the freshman from Destrehan.
Well, I told him that if I didn't think he could do this, then I wouldn't have made this assignment. But I told him he's not, the team he's going to face is not going to be any better than the teams he's pitched against over the last several weeks. You pitched against, you know, the best teams in the SEC. So you should not be nervous about that at all. That's not meant as a disrespect to Stony Brook. It's just that when you're playing in the SEC, you've faced all the great teams. So you can't feel like, oh, man, I wonder if I'm good enough to beat these guys. You are good enough. You've proved you're good enough. And, you know, we're going to have people in the stands, but we have people in the stands every game. And you just got to forget it. It's just a baseball game. It's not finding cures for cancer. It's a baseball game. So just go out and have fun and let it rip and let your talent speak for itself.
Be one heck of a thing. Came out loose. Gave you seven and a third innings and really kind of left you with a full complement of your bullpen arms going into Saturday's game. That obviously is the ideal situation. But what they have set up because of the run that was made in Hoover is what Paul was hoping for. Maneri kind of expounds on that here. They wanted to get some W's stacked up at the SEC tournament because they wanted to get more work, not just for Marceau, but also Eric Walker.
As important as it is, you guys keep talking about hosting, you know, have to win Tuesday. I want to win as much just to make sure that Marceau and Walker get a start this week. And fortunately, we won on that Tuesday against South Carolina. Everybody forgets we were down 5-1, had to come back and win that ball game. Everybody talks about the three-day stretch of the 17-inning game and then the Auburn ending and then the 10-run rule of Mississippi State. But go back to the first game. We had to come back from a 5-1 deficit against South Carolina. And that was the first thing I thought of after we won. Great, we get to stay, and that means Marceau and Walker get a start. Marceau's start was more important than Walker's, in my mind, just for the experience for him. Because, he had missed a portion of the season. So the more that he got to go out there, the more in rhythm I think he would be. So I thought he pitched really well against Auburn. Shut him out, I think, into the seventh inning, if I'm not mistaken. And then they scratched a couple against us. Something happened in one that I think was a bad break. That would be something he couldn't control. So he pitched great against them, and Walker wasn't at his finest against Mississippi State, but I'm really not worried about Eric. I just think Eric's a grizzled veteran, and he's going to find it, and he'll be on.
That's got to be one of the best parts of covering the LSU beat on baseball. It's literally just come saddle up, put the recorder down, we're going to have us a fireside chat. As comfortable as you like there, Maneri talking with the reporters. Let's get one more in while we have some time. And this one will focus in on the competition. And for the moment, leave Stony Brook out of it. Because there are not one, not two, but three 20-homer players coming to the box this weekend, none of whom wear the purple and gold. You've got two for the Sun Devils of Arizona State and one for Southern Miss. And Maneri recognizes it. There are a number of sluggers highlighted by those three, but not just that trio. Number of sluggers heading to BR this weekend.
Well, there's three hitters in this tournament that have hit 20-plus home runs. It's going to be warm, and probably the ball's going to be jumping in the box, It's a little bit scary, to be honest with you. I coached Spencer Torkelson last summer with the USA team, who plays for Arizona State, and I coached Matt Wallner from Southern Miss as well. And those guys have huge power. Now, I haven't coached Bishop, and he's outdone Torkelson this year, not by much, but a little bit. So, those guys are powerfully, they're teams that are built around power. And it's a little bit scary. So we're going to have to make great pitches, and we're going to have good pitchers that can make good pitches against them, whichever team we end up facing in game two. I don't know who that will be, and I don't know if it'll be in the winner's bracket or the loser's bracket. We got a big game ahead of us. So I'm trying not to spend too much time thinking about Arizona State or Southern Miss just because I know we have a tremendous challenge in game one with Stony Brook.
Chicks dig the long ball. Opposing coaches, not even nearly so much. All right, we're just about 2 hours in. We got one more to go, and we got one heck of a game plan for it. Dan McDonald, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, coming aboard at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. We'll do a little bit of Cajuns football conversation, his take on the opener against Mississippi State, now moved up to 11 a.m. And we'll also get a bit of a primer for next weekend's Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Les Miles, a number of other dignitaries, Peyton Manning going in up at Natchitoches. It's going to be a cool weekend. We'll get Dan's take and his flavor on that subject. We're also going to let you hear a little bit of sound, not quite Q&A replay. We'll chop it up better than that. But we have the best from Andrew Bell, houseofsparky.com, from yesterday. And that's all in on Arizona State. So for those who missed it, we're going to learn you a little bit on Sun Devils baseball. And then Clint wraps up our show, bringing you Under the Dome at 6:45. It'll be Cajuns football related as well. So if you love the vermilion and white, you're in the right place. Stick around for our final hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by. Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. Here's hour number three, Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming at you live from the Taproom River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Ben Love here at the Tap Room to give a nod to my partner in crime, the famous Clint D, joining us from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. One more hour to go in the show, and when you get the chance to start off with one of the best in the area, you got to do that, especially when Clint can't play the Jimmy Buffett leading in, because we've got an hour intro song. It's a win for everybody. Maybe except for Dan. Let's get out now to the Artco Equipment Hotline, a 2017 Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame inductee. It is Dan McDonald. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing well, Ben. We were in Myrtle Beach for a whole week last week, which sounds like a vacation, but when you're spending about 14, 15, 16 hours a day at the ballpark, you know, you're pretty much there and you're going to sleep and getting ready for the next day. But it is good to be back home and to start getting ready for, you know, another year, which will be, I mean, it's just right here around the corner.
You know, Dan, I'm glad you brought that up. How would you characterize, I guess, just how pressure-packed the Sun Belt Conference tournament is in baseball? Same with basketball, really. When you know there's only one spot on the line to get into the field of 64, how is that different than maybe some of the other major college baseball tournaments you've been around?
Well, I think it's even more pressure packed because, just like you said, only one team's going to advance out of there. And that's almost a shame because it's not that many years ago that the Sun Belt was routinely getting, you know, 2-3. In one case, they got four teams into postseason. Now it's pretty much a one-team league, and, you know, the reasons for that are many. I mean, the RPI has changed, you know, a good deal. It's very slanted toward the you know, the power conferences and so forth. And, you know, I mean, that's just the world we live in. So it does make for a more pressure situation. Every team that was there knew that they either kept winning or their season was over, and that was true for the Cajuns and for everybody else. I mean, Texas State went in there, you know, apparently from some of the things I've read, with a decent opportunity to get an at-large. I mean, more than I figured that they would, because one group had them as one of the first four out, and they just went in there and laid a colossal egg. They went 0-2 and weren't even close in either game. So, you know, I don't know if it was the pressure that got to them. They just hit a period of time they didn't play well. That was the case for a lot of teams. We saw that with our own club here, right here in town. You know, they played better as the season went along, but still they dug themselves a hole, and then, you know, when it came time for the end of the year, just still, you know, didn't get the pitching that they needed. And, you know, in that kind of situation, you know, if you don't produce on that weekend, your season's over. And unfortunately, that's what happened for them.
Hey, you're absolutely right. And you were right earlier when you said that the next academic calendar year, I mean, it's really right around the corner. So, Dan, with that in mind, I'll get your reaction. It was announced earlier today. UL will play Mississippi State in the Superdome Saturday of Labor Day weekend. We knew that, but the time has been bumped up to 11 a.m. to accommodate ESPNU. Your response to that?
Well, I understand it. I'm not crazy about it. I think 11 o'clock is just too early to play if that's not your traditional time. I know there are teams all over the Midwest, you know, in the Big Ten and some other leagues and so forth, in the ACC and even some SEC teams, that's a time that they're used to playing at. You know, and for them, that's well and good. You know, this program here, it's an aberration. It's not a time that is normal on the schedule. They don't schedule it for my personal enjoyment. I personally love the 4 o'clock games. I think those are ideal for, you know, for our fans and so forth. But you know, it's going to be at 11 o'clock, and that's what we're going to live with. That's when we're going to play. And you know, I think that there will still be regardless of the time, you know, I think Cajuns playing in New Orleans, playing a Mississippi State team that's a very good program. Cajuns coming off a very successful season last year. You know, I think if they schedule this game at 7 a.m. in the morning, there'd be people there. So I'm already looking forward to it. I'm already kind of excited about to see what's going to happen. I guess probably part of my excitement is it knowing that the Cajuns really didn't give up a home game to get this game. They're still going to play 6 games at home next year at Cajun Field in addition to the one in New Orleans. But, you know, I'm excited about it, just not real enthused about the early morning hours because, well, for one, I'm not a big Bloody Mary guy. So it's, we'll find some orange juice to drink and probably do all the celebrating the night before.
Very well said. Our guest is Dan McDonald. We're talking Cajuns now. We'll get to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame as he joins us on 103.7 The Game. Hey, a brief follow-up. Will you have the home games again this year on television, Dan?
Yeah, the ones that are not picked up by one of ESPN's, what they call their linear stations, the Big Network, the Deuce, and ESPNU, the ones that aren't picked up by somebody like that. Now, those midweek games, those are going to be picked up by somebody, and I think some of them are even locked in. We know that the Mississippi State game in New Orleans is going to be on the U, and their midweek games, both home and away, are going to be on somewhere. If there is a Saturday game that is not picked up by somebody else, which I doubt that they will because they've already had so many of them already kind of snapped up, we'll have those games on ESPN Plus again this coming year. It's the type of situation that I was fortunate enough to do those games with Gerald Broussard last year, and you know, to be honest, that was about as much fun as you could have, because Gerald's such a great guy to work with and knows the game and so forth. I had a blast doing those ESPN Plus games this year, and you know, I hope they'll keep calling me to do those. But we're already pretty much locked into all of the home games for the coming season.
Excellent. And look, I've been asked that recently by a listener, so glad to give an update for everybody. One more on the Cajuns football side, Dan. You've spent time around Billy Napier, this staff that he has grown and been able to keep in Lafayette despite a lot of pressure coming in and trying to poach these guys. I guess your general impressions, how they go about their business and what they're setting up in Lafayette.
I think he's very different from really any coach I've been around here. One, he has that background with some outstanding big-time college football programs. I mean, we know about Alabama, but he was at Clemson for a while. He was, you know, he may have been the youngest coordinator in the country when he was at Clemson. He was at Arizona State right before he came here. I mean, these are quality programs, and he makes no bones about the fact that he takes ideas from all those places and incorporates them into here. I know there's an old cliche about there are no original ideas and they're all, you know, stolen from somebody else. He doesn't mind, you know, saying that. You know, they pretty much follow, you know, Alabama calls it the program. There's a lot of similarities in the things that they do going with Alabama. And I'm not talking about on the field, although a lot of that is the same, too. I'm talking about how they set up practices, how they set up their meals, how they set up their academic program, how they set up their weight program, how they set up their conditioning, how they do the off season. There's a lot of Alabama influence there. You know, that's not a bad thing. If you're going to copy off somebody, you know, why not copy off one of the best? And they're doing that. He's the kind of guy that I don't think there's a lot of ego around him, and he doesn't mind doing things, even if somebody else is already doing them. If he thinks they're going to be successful for him, that's what he's going to do. He's also, you know, if you're around him enough, there's just enough of that dry wit that'll pop out of there every once in a while that says, you know, hey, this guy, you know, not only is he a, you know, a pretty good football coach, he's got things together. He's the kind of guy that people will get behind, even though he's sort of a quiet leader. He's not the rah-rah guy, but I think more and more people are going to start realizing that over the next couple of years. And he's the guy that, you know, this program and the people here can really get behind.
Finishing up with Dan McDonald on 103.7 The Game. Not this weekend, but next, you'll have company in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. More inductions in Natchitoches. The headliners are Peyton Manning, Les Miles. I'd love to hear, I guess, some of your reaction to the guys, the gals that are going in this year and maybe kind of 2019 induction class.
Well, those are obviously the guys that people are going to talk about. I mean, they were pretty much first ballot. You know, I don't even know if I'm fortunate enough to be part of the selection committee. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, when Peyton Manning's name was thrown out right at the start of the meeting, we didn't even vote. You know, that was pretty much an obvious and so forth. But there are so many talented people, athletes and coaches in this group. We're putting people that the average sports fan might not realize, but these are people that are unbelievably exceptional in their field. We're putting our first volleyball player in ever. Daniel Scott played on the USA Olympic team 5 different times. A lot of people know Roger Cater, a longtime coach at Southern University, very successful. Charles Smith is the architect of that great Peabody Magnet high school basketball program in Alexandria. Matt Dunnigan was the quarterback at Louisiana Tech and is in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Max Buechler is a former All-American for the Tigers, was on that 1958 national championship team. I mean, it's guys like this that are just, people, if they don't know about them, if they do a little research, they realize that, you know, there's a lot of pretty special people going into this group.
And we appreciate you spending some time with it, Dan. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy whatever slice of the summer is free for you. I hope that's a lot.
Well, there's some. We'll have some free time, but, you know, like we said, you know, it's going to sneak up on us, and all of a sudden it's going to be August, and we're going to be talking about getting ready for football season. And, you know, that's if you're a fan like me, that's never a bad thing to have that to look forward to.
Music to the ears. I'm right there with you. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Ben.
The great Dan McDonald. Good enough to join us on 103.7 The Game. Before we hit this break, true story. I have a signed, framed jersey from Roger Cador that hangs in my home. Yeah. True story. And you want to hear how weird, wacky, and wild life gets? I wrote a story on Roger Cador in 2008. I was not even a sports writer. I was working for my mom, who owned more of a community-style magazine based out of Baton Rouge, and Roger Cador was a fascinating case study for me in a lot of ways. So I made him the cover. His story was the cover story. It was the feature cover story for that month of In Register magazine, and his way of thanking me was bringing me a Roger Cador pinstripe, almost like the Yankees would wear, Southern University jersey that had his number, his name on the back. He signed it and framed it for me. It's one of the coolest things anybody's done that I had a chance to write a story on or do a feature on. So, Roger Cador, you're the man. Congrats on what's coming up next weekend. All right, we're hitting a break. We'll be right back. Take your phone call. 706-0111. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're live on 103.7 The Game.
.1037 The Game is all over social media, and we want to interact with you. Tweet us at .1037 The Game and vote on our show's Twitter polls. Like .1037 The Game on Facebook. Comment on the biggest topics involving your favorite teams.
Incense.
Check out our video recaps and give us your feedback. Can't get enough live and local sports talk? Keep the conversation going online all the time with Acadiana's number one sports station.
Yes!
.1037 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Oh!
Same time, every time, our man hits the high note there. The return of Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Fairly quick segment, but we can still take your calls. 706-0111. A few things I could share with you. One of them is potentially awesome. The other just out and out awesome slash hilarious. Let's go with the potentially awesome part. According to Adam Schefter, who earlier today went on 97.5, that's a Philadelphia-based sports radio station. I don't have any more details on that, so pardon me, because frankly, this news I'm getting is coming from AllSaintsConsidered.com, a Saints-dedicated blog, but they're taking the info from what Schefter had to say. According to that Schefter interview, Darren Sproles is reconsidering retirement and has named the Saints as one of his preferred destinations if he returns. And you know what's funny? This blog, AllSaintsConsidered.com, you find them on Twitter, at AllSaintsBlog. They followed that, right? They chased that with the following question. Should the Saints consider Sproles a third down back behind Murray and Kamara? And, of course, the answer to that is not yes. It's hell yes, right now, today. That guy can still play. And even if you don't need him every single third down, because, of course, Kamara is versatile, and the guy can be a third down back himself, I absolutely want Darren Sproles on my team. Do you know how ape bleep the Superdome would go? Darren Sproles, Sproles-Royce was rolling again. That would be incredible. How much can you expect from him? Not the world, but here's the truth. How much do you have to pay him? It's almost a perfect fit for the Saints. They don't have deep pocketbooks right now because they're overextended on Breeze and company. They can afford him. So if he decides he wants to return, strap 43 on him and let's ride. I'm in. That's not a good idea. That's a great idea. Because what will you lose? It's almost kind of like the opposite of signing Adrian Peterson a couple of years back. Then, well, you were threatening the establishment with Mark Ingram. You didn't quite know what you had in Alvin Kamara, so you kind of stunted the first four or five games of his potential growth as a rookie. That was different because he was potentially usurping. I'll use a Game of Thrones reference. He was going for the Iron Throne. But Sproles, you don't have to worry about that. He wants to be the hand of the king, bro. And that's just fine with me. And so that would be tremendous. I just like the fact that it's remotely possible. We can come back to that if you want, but I wanted to get that out there while I had some time in this 6 o'clock hour. Respond when you'd like. 706-0111. This next little bit is just hilarious, okay? Bleacher Report caught up with Meta World Peace, who you and I would probably know better as Ron Artest. Again, I don't know how this was brought up. I don't know if he's trying to become maybe he's trying to become to Hennessy what Petey Pablo was to Seagram's gin for a while. I just don't know. But this quote is attributed to Meta World Peace. He was asked how much Hennessy he consumed during his career. And the quote is, maybe like 50 gallons. That might be a little low too, though. Awesome. This guy's putting a gallon gauge on how much Hennessy he threw back during his playing days. So, look, this guy, if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves, I think he hails from the same part of New York that Mike Tyson does. I mean, there's a whole lot of fight in that dog. You mix that with a little bit of Hennessy, and is it any wonder that the malice in the palace about 12 or 13 years ago was possible? Now, people still shouldn't be throwing beer cans and cups and food and crap like that at players. Just because you buy a ticket, you don't get to say what you want and do what you want. So I'm not completely absolving some of the people on the fan side of what happened in Detroit that night between the Pistons, the Pacers, the fans. But yeah, maybe you interject a little bit of Hennessy into the situation and things could be combustible. 50 gallons of Hennessy worth, hey, that's how you have a career. And I don't know that this one will end in the Naismith Hall of Fame. for Ron Artest now, Meta World Peace. But that's a Hall of Fame level quote right there. How much Hennessy did you drink in your career? Maybe 50 gallons. But that also might be low. For whatever reason, CD, I heard that and I couldn't help myself. And now I'm kind of blanking on the name, and shame on me. I'll get you to look it up. I can actually see the guy's face. He was the running back who played with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, was drafted by the Tennessee Titans. I can almost see him. Jeff Horchek's still in the building. Horchek, you got to help me here. I could see this guy's face. Yeah, he is a big back. He did get overweight. But he had a quote at one point where it was basically impossible for him to get off of the tequila. And then he actually went on a certain type of diet that was tequila-based. Oh, this is going to slay me. Clint, if Jeff Horchek beats you to this, he steals your job and you go to Monroe. Clint, you have the Google machine.
Yeah,
come
I do.
I could see this guy. Who is he?
Trying to pull it up right now, Ben. This is ridiculous how hard it is. I'm trying
you
to think about it right now.
It?
Yeah, I've been trying to.
Oh, this is.
I've been painful. Trying to figure out based on the details because, like, you're being very hazy. Tennessee Titans.
How
Lindale
White? How is it hazy? Jeez, you don't have to scream into the mic, bro. Yes, it is Lindale White.
I didn't mean to, but I was just like, oh, my God. Right when I hit it, I was like, Horchek, Lindale White.
I think Clint wants to keep his job some kind of fierce.
I do.
I mean, he went full out. He went full out. Loud noises from Anchorman with that announcement there. Lindale White. I can
apologies.
Talk very loud on radio. That was a sonic boom in my eardrum.
Yeah. Apologies for that.
I'll be right back in. We got to hit a break. Hold on. Jeff Horchek's talking on the other side. Let me say bye to the listeners, then we'll get back with our guy Horchek. It's falling off the rails. How else would you like it? Excuse me for a bit. I'll go find some Hennessy, some tequila, whatever the football and basketball players are drinking. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
The things I love about live radio, even when it doesn't go right, it still does. Or at least it still can. Of course, I'll explain. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, back live at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. I think I got my good friend, the famous Clint D, a little flustered as he was searching frantically for Lindale White. And he yelled it into the mic, and he was right.
Yeah.
But I was wrong about one thing, so I'll own up to it. CD, you hit me during the break. Lindale White was a second-round draft pick of the Tennessee Titans, not a first-rounder. So perhaps that confused the Google machine. I'll allow for that.
Yeah, well, I had kind of pulled it up because I was like, did the guy behind Reggie Bush get drafted the same draft as he did or the year before? That's what threw me off.
And, you know, the other thing was, again, I remember watching these teams vividly. He didn't play behind Reggie Bush. I mean, this was thunder and lightning. These guys were prolific together. I understand that Reggie won a Heisman, no longer his. But Lindale White was a fantastic college football player. And the other way that this has led us to some comedic gold, our good friend Joe McHugh on Twitter, he was just trying to help a brother, or me and you both, CD. He was trying to help some brethren out. And, you know, sometimes autocorrect will just jump up and get you right in the keister. And so, Lindable White is what Joe offered up to us. So, somewhere that is FDIC regulation approved. Lindable White for the win. Joe, you know we appreciate you. And it was really good seeing you out at Rufino's on the river the other day. So, yeah, we're having a little bit of fun with it. We got time for you to join us. 706-0111 while we wait. Yesterday, we had the good fortune of catching up with Andrew Bell. HouseOfSparky.com. All he does is cover Arizona State sports. In fact, he's all in on Arizona State baseball. The more I kind of searched that on the Twitter machine, the more of his stories and opinion pieces came up. And he turned into a pretty darn good radio guest as well. So if you want the drop on the Sun Devils and you missed it yesterday, We're going to run back portions of that interview right now. Again, the most likely path scenario where LSU sees Arizona State, the one Tiger fans want, is Saturday in a winner's bracket game. And I think now we know that's probably going to be Cole Henry and maybe bridge to Devin Fontenot, Zach Hess chasing that at the end. I think that's how Saturday is shaping up in the winner's bracket. It's possible it could be Eric Walker, but I'd put my chips on Cole Henry. Still, let's lead off with what Andrew Bell had to say on two power hitters for ASU. A couple of guys with 20-plus homers, Torkelson and Bishop.
I think what makes him so special and what's made Hunter Bishop so special is his ability. You know, he's hitting behind Torkelson right now, but at the beginning of the year, he's hitting in front of him. I think that really kind of just helped him. He's kind of pieced it all together this year. This is a guy's last 2 years with the program. Had a little bit of some ups and downs, wasn't playing his best baseball and kind of living up to his potential, kind of so to speak. But this year, he's really kind of pieced it all together. And both these guys, when they're on, they're not just pulling the ball over the fence, which they can't do. They can hit for a lot of power on the pole side, but they're driving the ball to different sides of the field. They really just complement each other really well. And another guy who kind of gets understated in that top of the order for their team and who I'd say to watch out for this weekend is Trevor Hobbert. He's only a sophomore, same year as Torkelson, but he's a really highly touted recruit coming out of Arizona, a local kid, which they have a lot of local guys on the roster. But Trevor Hobbert is a guy who can really get on base. He's really good, really high on base percentage, and really works a lot of walks, but he's going to be kind of a player of the future. And so I think those three guys mixed in together between Torkelson, Bishop, Hover, they can really, that's kind of the biggest threat in the lineup. And then you go down, you have guys like Carter Aldretti, Lyle Lynn, guys who can swing the bat pretty well as well. But like I said, when those guys are going, they're driving the ball to all different parts of the field. They can hit off-speed pitches, and it's really tough to beat them. And I imagine Paul Maneri this weekend, that will be his main point of emphasis, is trying to limit those two guys, which is a tall task. But it's going to be fun to see them on such a big stage playing at Alex Box Stadium this weekend. I know they were talking about it earlier this week. Torkelson had Paul Maneri as a coach with Team USA last summer. And, you know, he really enjoyed that experience. He knows a couple guys from LSU's team. So I imagine they're looking forward to the experience and just playing in that type of environment.
We'll catch a few more from Andrew Bell, houseofsparky.com. If you want some insight on the other side, right, coming from the mound, Arizona State started the season 21-0, basically a .500 team from that point on. And the pitching rotation hasn't exactly been a strong point. Here, Bell gives you an idea of what the pitching rotation might look like for Coach Smith and the Sun Devils. And don't forget, LSU, Arizona State, likely, I would say, to play on Saturday. So keep that in mind when he runs through these scenarios.
Well, I know for the Friday game earlier this week, it's not 100% yet, but I would bet that Alec Marsh, who's been one of the Sun Devils' aces all season, goes for them and pitches against Southern Miss. I don't think they'll wait until game two. I think they're going to try to win that first game and bring out their best guy. So in that case, if it does end up being LSU and ASU, I'd most likely be Boyd Vanderkoy, who, if you look at his stats right now, like if you're just, to look at his numbers and say, he has a 5-point-something ERA, it's over 5. And really that ERA got inflated by one bad game he had against UCLA earlier this year. And then he had some rough go of things. But he really turned it around in a start against Nebraska about a few weeks ago. I want to say it was about a month ago. Had a really good start, and he's been pitching really well. He went 7 innings against Stanford of shutout baseball against the top 5 team in the country just this last weekend. So he's been pitching the ball really well. I imagine that would be who goes for ASU. He's got some really good breaking stuff, and when he has good command of his fastball, he has a 4-seam and 2-seam, and when he has command of that fastball, it makes his breaking stuff that much better. So I imagine if it does end up being the matchup, he'd be the guy that the Tigers see in that second game.
Let's hit on one more from Andrew Bell. Again, you can read his work, houseofsparky.com. And this may sound a little dubious as I set it up, but when you listen to it, you'll come to understand. Andrew told us that there was fairly mixed reaction from the Arizona State fan base in Tempe. I'll let him tell you why.
It's a little bit of a mixed reaction right now. It's a very passionate fan base out here in Tempe. In the last couple years, quite frankly, they haven't been too happy. And their head coach, Tracy Smith, kind of came into this year a little bit on the hot seat, and this was a year and a program that hasn't really been accustomed to kind of missing out in the postseason. But they kind of piece it all together this year. There's a group of fans or people who think that this team is capable enough to host a regional, so they might be a little upset with that they're playing as a two seed. And quite frankly, I think they could easily have been a regional host if things went a little differently in conference play. They started off as the lone undefeated team in college baseball and non-conference play and kind of heading into Pac-12 play. And then they kind of cooled off a little bit going through the ups and downs of conference play. But they find their way in as a two seed, and it's one of the most offensive teams in the country. I mean, they have Hunter Bishop, Spencer Torkelson, guys who can absolutely kind of bash the ball. And I saw a projection the other day that Hunter Bishop looking like he might go number 8 overall in an MLB projection they had, or at least a top 10 pick. So really good swing in the bats, and it's going to be an exciting weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing some good baseball.
We are too. And it was great to catch up with Andrew Bell. Some really solid baseball coming to the box. Again, Baseball America, I believe, is the online publication that had this as what soccer calls the group of death. And they say this is the toughest regional, any of the 16, this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it, excited as well. As we get toward the finish line, not only of our show, but this segment, I do want to update our sink or swim question of the day. We've gotten some good responses via social media, so we'll do that right now. Again, you're just joining us about 2 hours and 20 minutes ago, way back in the gap. I asked the following. If your son or daughter wants to go out of state to college, where would you most like them to go? Where would you allow them to go? And we've had a good bit of response, people saying, hey, if they want to go somewhere, especially if they get a scholarship, they can go. I'm not going to stand in their way. Well, I'm not suggesting that you hold them down or hold them back, but it's led to some funny, maybe sports-related or sports-motivated concepts of why certain people just would say, nope, that school is a university non grata. But Jonathan F. on Twitter, no Bama school. And that kind of takes care of it from almost any angle, right? That probably even takes care of it from a Sun Belt level. Brandon L. on Twitter, Florida, Notre Dame, USC, and Ohio State won't allow. And Brandon made that part clear. I love that. So the question kind of says, where would you allow them to go? Where would you like them to go? I love that clarification. This is where they can't go. Florida, Notre Dame, USC, Ohio State. And one of those belongs on my list too. My children are not allowed to go to the University of Florida. Not while I'm alive. That's just something that I'm going to be adamant about. I feel very strongly about it, in fact, so not going to allow that for my kids, and you can put that on wax. May 30, 2019, I have no kids, but when I do, if I do, that ain't part of the program. So some good responses so far to that question. We've had some good topics, and you all have explored the space with us this week. You know we thank you for it very, very much. All right, we're winding down the program. Final break when we return. You know, frankly, Clint had fun yelling, but he'll have more fun with his next bit. That's just my guess. He's going to take you under the dome, and we'll end with Raging Cajun football. Looking ahead toward the 2019 season, we know where it'll start, against whom it'll start, and we know when it'll start. But what levels of confidence does he have, and in what areas? You'll learn all that when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game, and online at 1037thegame.com.
Listening to 1037 The Game on your Amazon Echo is easy. Just enable the Alexa skill.
What a day, what a show. One more time, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're right back into the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. A lot of fun so far. Hunt Palmer, Jeff Voracek, my man is still having some fun here. His swan song on the program. Dan McDonald talking some Cajuns. We've been rocking, we've been rolling. And you just heard some clips from Andrew Bell. Again, that's really so that LSU fans can learn a little more when it comes to Arizona State baseball. So we've been just about everywhere today. And I want to circle back really and kind of finish in part where we started. You'll recall, we went split screen to begin the program some 3 hours ago, thereabouts. And one of the big-time areas, big-time news today, frankly, the Cajuns and Mississippi State. It's still a kickoff classic game. It's still a game that the Cajuns are forfeiting that normally would have been a home game. It's still in the Superdome. The problem is, this game, I believe at one point, was scheduled for 6 p.m. There was a change to 4 p.m. And this morning, the news came down, a little bit of the good, a little bit of the bad, 11 a.m. kickoff. The good is quite simple. You get to expand your brand nationally. It'll be televised on ESPNU. The bad, well, basically everything from a fan base experience. Yes, you'll have time to hit the town after. I think every reporter, journalist, broadcaster, yeah, they're digging this. Their job will be done. They'll get to watch college football for the rest of the day. But from a fan standpoint, it's not exactly the best. So we led with that news, discussed it with Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Dan McDonald earlier in this hour, and I wanted to get Clint's take, not necessarily on that game, but more so on the season that's coming. So I'll set the table for CD, because it is time to go under the dome. Biggest areas of Clint's confidence in his 2019 UL football team. Enough for me. Clint, hit us with the good stuff.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Year two of the Billy Napier era has plenty of reasons for fans to be hyped up. And after winning the West Division at the end of the regular season and being part of the Sun Belt Championship game in its first year was a clear step in the right direction and seemed to be a statement that it's just the beginning of what is hopefully a long and prosperous period of Cajuns football. Another big part of that hype is the fact that we're going to see Napier start to cook a little bit with his own ingredients. Sure, there's some of the previous regime's ingredients in there, but I think that's a very good thing. Because you see a bulk of those guys, they're seeing significant playing time in 2019, especially when they kick off around 11 a.m. at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against those Bulldogs of Mississippi State. And with that in mind, here are three areas that I have the most confidence in heading into the 2019 season. And I'm talking strictly about the play that's on the field, because I'm definitely a lot confident about the coaching staff that Billy Napier has put together. That's no doubt. But we're going to start with the most confident thing, besides the coaching staff, of course. And there's not a doubt in my mind that the running back core is going to be a monster. It's going to continue to be that. He's not losing a whole lot of depth at that position. Obviously, you're going to have Elijah Mitchell and Ray McCallay leading the way. And that's not even considering how much Ashton Johnson has improved in the spring game. He looked really good. I enjoyed what I saw from him. You have this three-headed monster that they've liked to use in the past. I think it's going to continue, especially because Ray McCallay is just an absolute monster. It just depends how much he's going to be used as a running back. He's going to be used a lot as a special teams returner. I think that's something his wheelhouse. Hopefully Elijah Mitchell doesn't mind being the bell cow here. I don't think he definitely can do that. And then we're going to stick with the offense for my second area that I'm very confident in. It has to be the big uglies in the trenches in the offensive line. I have to say they look good. It's just a lot like the star running backs. You got a lot of starting offensive linemen that are returning starters. Guys like Cole Prudhomme, Kevin Dotson, Robert Hunt. They'll be leading the way, and they definitely got a lot of love according to Athlon Sports with their preseason all Sunbelt team. So definitely that's a step in the right direction for a lot of these guys. These three will wind up leading the way. I think Cole Prudhomme will be that big cat to kind of build a lot of continuity with that offensive line, because he'll remain as a starting center, at least from my point of view, because of course I have no way of knowing how that depth chart is going to pan out whenever we get closer to the start of the 2019 season. But I feel like those guys will no doubt be starters, and to help the run game perform very, very well and be a key cog and see that offense succeed, and more importantly, keep that quarterback upright, because they did a lot of that last year as the season progressed, unlike what I saw from them. And the final position, I got to look over towards the defensive side of the football, the linebackers, Chauncey Manack, Jacques Boudreau. These two guys alone could wind up doing a lot more for that second level of the defense that a lot of guys had in recent years. I mean, you look 2 years ago, that second level was just getting shredded at every opportunity, especially in the run game. I think a guy like Jacques Boudreau, and you've got Chauncey Manack, a lot of the other guys that are in there, I think it's in a lot better shape from that aspect than any other aspect on the defensive side of the football. The defensive line is probably going to be good, but I think the linebackers are going to be the most improved, and it's an area I have a lot of confidence in heading into the 2019 season, and I think they can be Sun Belt worthy, or all Sun Belt worthy, I should say, on the defensive side of the football. Give me them, give me the running backs, and give me the offensive line. Sure, the quarterback I have a lot of confidence in, but guess what? I'd be a little different in these three areas I'm looking forward to the most and I have the most confidence in heading into that Mississippi State game in August.
There you have it. And that's it. That's all when it comes to today's show. I'm about to run out of real estate the full three-hour Monty on a Thursday. And where else would I rather be than the Taproom River Ranch? Again, thanks to all of our great guests, callers, respondents on social media. I know we gave you some goods today with our sink or swim question in the 4 o'clock hour. It's been an awful lot of fun, and the fun continues here tonight. 8 until 11, live music, local music. There's no rhythms on the river, but there's no problem at the Taproom River Ranch. Come here, don't pay a cover, just enjoy your music. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Thursday night. We'll catch you tomorrow live at Rufino's on the River. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love, and you've been dialed in to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.